It's such a pleasure to have our president speak to us today. You know, when Dr. Gray comes to speak, it always feels like everything's okay. She's here. It's okay. It's all gonna work. It also feels like family. You know, when she speaks to us, it's not just our leader, but it's like a family member. And so, Dr. Gray, it's always great to have you. Would you welcome her with me, please?
Thank you. Well, everything is okay, not because I'm here, but because the Lord's here, and we can count on that. Today is a very special day in many ways. First of all, chapel is always special. Each day is a unique day unto the Lord, and so it's special for that reason. It's also special because this is the last day of the semester in the year of 2009, so you've already figured that out. But another way that it's even more special, and a day in which I want to recognize some special folks, is that today is the day that we have some December graduates. And so for those December graduates, today will be your last undergraduate chapel at Asbury College. And I would like to ask those graduating seniors, December graduating seniors, if you would please stand and let us acknowledge you. Now, I can tell you that there is a smile on every face as I was looking out at them, but I think there's also a few tears. And that is true for us. Each year, each graduating class is different. And so we want you to know that we will miss you. And when we return in January, it will not be the same because of those of you that are not back with us. And so for that reason, I want to dedicate today's chapel to our December graduates. Now, there is a message for everyone, and so you'll want to stay tuned. But I am dedicating this particular service to these students. Read the instructions. You saw Larry goofing off, having a good time, finally falling asleep, when all of a sudden the museum begins to be in chaos, and he realizes there's a problem. And so at that point, when all chaos has broken out, then he begins to decide it's time to call the guard to see what to do. And the guard says, read the instructions. They explain everything. Finding himself in a crisis and finding that life was out of control, the museum was out of control, Larry does finally consult the instructions, and he discovers the way to solve the dino problem. And once he does begin using the instructions, we will see that life begins to return to order. He thought it was an easy job, just being a night watchman in the museum. And he thought he could do it on his own. But he discovered he could not. And so it is with us. And I would say particularly to our December graduates that you, and you no doubt already have, but you will continue to discover that we cannot make it on our own. We find ourselves in great need, sometimes even in desperate need. And at those times, we need instructions from the Lord. We need a word from the Lord. We need the word. We cannot do this life well on our own, even though sometimes, like Larry, we think we can. But also, like Larry, we see the consequences of trying to go it alone, of ignoring our instructions. The interesting thing, as we watched that little clip, is we actually saw Larry with the instructions in his hand. He was waving them around. Once he had them, he carried them with him. And so it is with us. Sometimes we have our word. We do have our word. You may have it on your shelf. You may have memorized some word in your mind, and maybe since being a young child, you have hidden away some of God's word in your heart. And so it's very close to us. God's instructions can be as close as in our hand, in our head, in our heart. But if we are not acting upon them, those instructions are of no value. And I might say to us that it is, I think, one of the greatest dangers for us as Christians that we would ignore the instructions because we know how to go through the motions. We know how to come to chapel. We know how to go to Bible study. We know to go to church on Sunday. We may even know that we need to sit down once a day and have a quiet time with the Lord. But we may not really be following the instructions. John 1, which you just heard read to us at the beginning of the service, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then down in verse 14, the Word became human. The Word became flesh and blood, and made his dwelling among us. And so I would like to say to us as Christians and at Christmas time, we cannot fully understand Christmas unless we can understand the Word, the importance of the Word. And the Word, of course, as we read in John 1 and John 14, actually throughout the whole chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word. And we have a written Word which the Holy Spirit has inspired, and we are blessed to have a written living Word that is a document that we can look at, and so we can commit pieces of this Word to memory. We can commit instructions to memory, and it can begin to take root within our heart. But we also have the Word, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us at all times. And so the Word is both Jesus, the living Jesus, and it is his living written Word. I want to lift up three principles about the Word. There would be many things, of course, we could say about both the written living Word and Jesus himself, but I want to lift out just three principles about the Word for you today, for all of you to take with you as you leave to go for our Christmas break, and particularly for our December graduates. Hebrews 11:3 says that the Word is that by which God made the world. Nothing was made without his Word. The universe was formed at his Word. Imagine with me the power of the Word, the power of God to speak something into place, to speak the heavenlies into place, to speak the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations and the universe of the sea and the beauty around us, and to create each one of us. He spoke creation into being, and it was. And so we need to take as his instructions his Word, because it is powerful. It is powerful and it is active. And so I want to encourage you, particularly seniors, to hold fast to his Word. If you are feeling powerless in your own life, and I hope that you are, I certainly feel that way. I can do nothing on my own. But through Christ, his Word tells me that through him, I can do all things. It's because of him working in me and through me. Hold fast to his Word. As you journey into this next season, know that he is encouraging you. Seek out his encouragement. Seek out his love, whether it is in the written Word or whether it is allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal through the indwelling Christ his love, his encouragement, his singing over you. Scripture says he sings over you. He stays ever with us. He travels with you. He walks with you. He is our greatest cheerleader and fan. You are entering into some days, those of you particularly that are leaving now into this next season of your life, you are entering into some days and into a season in which you need to know more than ever that he is your constant companion. You need to know that no one loves you like Jesus. You need to know that he knows you by name. His Word tells us, he tells us, I know you by name. And if you listen quietly, if you will get alone with him and be in his presence, you can hear him call you by name. And you can hear, you can sense through his Spirit, his speaking a message to you. And so the power of his Word is something that you need to walk out of here today, no matter where we're headed, We need to walk out of here today and every day in the power of God's word. It is very powerful to use his written word. I discovered, I don't know why it took me so long to discover this, but he keeps teaching me new things. I discovered this summer the power of just reading his word aloud. I was working through a situation with an extended family member who was in crisis, and I just went to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And so I picked up his word, and he led me to John, to the red letters in John, Jesus' own words. And I began reading out loud Jesus' own words, speaking them out loud, and there's power in his word. And you might find that helpful. I also find helpful in the word actually praying the word over a particular situation. For those of you that are leaving this semester, a wonderful verse for you to pray over and to speak this word over your situation is Acts 5:38, one of my favorite scriptures, which says that whatever we are doing, if it is of us, it will fail. But if it is of God, it cannot be overthrown. Now, isn't that a powerful word, to be able to know that God's word is saying, if you follow me, if you follow my instructions, if you are allowing my word to inform you and to surround you, nothing can be overthrown that I've called you to do. And so that's an important piece. It's also important to know the power in Scripture when we bring God into the character, into the situation, and realizing that he is the main character in every situation. Those biblical stories that we learned as children, the story of David and Goliath, who was the main character there? Was it David? Was it Goliath? Neither. The main character in the story of David and Goliath was God himself. Who was the main character in the story of Moses? Who was the main character in the story of Abraham and Sarah? Who was the main story in the main character in the story of Esther? In all of these situations, in every situation in Scripture, God is the main character in that story, not you and not me. In your story, he is the main character. In my story, he is the main character. So I was in Atlanta early days of this week at our Saks reaffirmation meeting, which was very positive. Thank all of you for your input, and we could not have done this without the entire campus community. But Tuesday morning, I was returning early to be with my family for my mother's memorial service. She had stepped over with Jesus last week, and we had her memorial service this week. And so Tuesday morning, I was in the Atlanta airport very early, and a fella came up to me and spoke, and I recognized him immediately, too. I had not seen this man for probably 15 years. And he said, hello, do you remember me? And I said, oh, yes, I do remember you. And I remembered my husband Ken and I praying with him and his wife, and we had prayed together for a number of years, and somehow the years have kind of separated us, and our paths have been in different directions. But he was telling me some of the difficulties of his life during these past years that I have not seen him. And so as I got on the plane, and we were not seated next to each other, but as he passed me, I said to him, called him by name, and I said, wait for me when we get off the plane. I want to tell you a story. And I wanted to tell him this story of encouragement, because it happens that there was a story that I was aware of in his life relating to forgiveness that had impacted me profoundly. In fact, my students would hear this story every year when I was in the classroom. It was a wonderful story of forgiveness. And so I said to him, wait for me when we get off the plane. I want to tell you a story. And I was going to use that story to tell him how, during these years, he has continued to be an encouragement. Well, there was an elderly gentleman sitting behind me on the plane, and so this man heard me say, I want to tell you a story. And so this gentleman said, well, what's the story? I want to hear the story. And, of course, it was kind of hard in these small little seats, and I happened to be sitting in the middle. It was kind of hard to turn around, and it was not an appropriate story to say at that point. And I said, well, it's a good story. I'll just tell you that. It's a good story. Well, as I deplaned and went to the baggage claim then to claim my bag, my friend that I had met in Atlanta had not yet gotten off. And so this elderly man came up to me and he said, "I'm serious. I want to know the story." "So what's the story?" And I said, "Well, just let me tell you this. The story is about Jesus." Well, his face just completely blanked out. And he said, "Oh, you go to church?" I said, "Yeah, I go to church. But the story is really not about church. The story is about my God." And he said, "Well, I don't go to church anymore." He said, "I've gotten disappointed with the church," and he told me things that had happened in his church. So he said, "So I just quit going to church." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry that you've quit going to church, but you know, the story really is about Jesus." And I was able to tell him that I had just come home to go to my mother's funeral. And I said, "I want to tell you that I am going to be with my family as we celebrate my mother's life. I sure would not want to be in this place without knowing Jesus. I would not have wanted to walk through this year in my mother's illness and to face this day without knowing him." So I said, "So that's the story." He acknowledged that it was there, but he walked away. I've continued to pray for him, of course, since that time. But the important thing is that it is God that's in the center of our stories. And the Lord will rise up within you in some way to allow his light to shine through you so that others will see that story. His word is very, very powerful. A second principle is in Hebrews 4:12, which says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word came to earth and his light pierced the darkness. Think of the darkest situation that you are dealing with now. A place of pain, a place of unknown, a place of uncertainty, a place of anxiety. And his word says, "I will pierce that darkness and bring light to that place." And so for graduating seniors, December seniors, you are entering into a new season in which you are going to find new levels of darkness. You will experience levels of darkness in the behavior of other folks. You will see it in their activities. You will see it in their choices and the decisions they make. And you will experience, as we all do in various venues, dishonesty and greed and mistreatment and misunderstandings. And in every one of those situations, God's word and he himself will come and penetrate that place and bring light in to the dark places. Psalm 119 says in verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so get used to asking the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me do?" Let that be a question. Let's all say it together. Let's say, "Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do?" Say it again. "Lord, what would you have me do?" This is a question that needs to just ring through your heart and mind so that in every situation where you are encountering the unknown, where you are encountering the need to have a word to speak, when you are needing to make a decision, that your heart is automatically saying, "Lord, what would you have me do?" It needs to be a part of your breath that you are breathing in this prayer and breathing out that prayer. "What would you have me do, Lord?" Get comfortable with this prayer. We need the word. We need the word in Jesus himself. And we must form our values and principles according to his word. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. Because God chose to send the word to live among us, that he could be our example. What are you doing with the word? Do you identify more with Larry? And sometimes I know I'm in that place. And sometimes I experience this chaos that comes because of not fully relying upon his word, upon his instructions. And we don't want to find ourselves under a desk on the telephone having to say, "God, what would you have me do?" We need it to begin to be so much a part of our fabric that we are automatically calling out to him. We cannot go it alone. And so you have the choice. We have the choice each day. And it's not just a choice of saying, Jesus, I choose to accept you as my Savior. If you've not done that, that's an important thing. But it's also important each day, as those of us that have given our hearts to the Lord, to each day to say, Jesus, I choose today to walk in the power and the light and the life of your word. And it's because of that that we celebrate Christmas and his coming as the Word. In conclusion, let me say that when you get to your CPOs today, you're going to find a laminated little card like this and a letter from me where I am challenging our entire campus community to read through the Bible in 2010. And so we have from January 1 to December 31 of next year, selected readings. I know you are busy and it needs to be something that the Lord would place as a conviction upon your heart, but I am really encouraging you and challenging you to be one that will join with me in reading through this the scripture each year. Imagine the transformation, the life-changing work that could come on this campus if we would all together be in God's Word and to be on the same page in His Word. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Find those groups that you can have as accountability partners to say, you know what, I haven't read through the Word ever from Genesis to Revelation, or perhaps like me, you have read through it, but it's been a while. And so I'm going to be reading through it. My husband Ken's going to be joining me, and so we're going to be holding each other accountable to make sure that each of us are reading through this scripture. And so I want to challenge us as a campus community to really lean on the Word, to draw on the Word, and to live in the power and the light and the life of His Word. So I encourage you to join me there. I'd like to ask everyone to be seated other than our December graduates. If those of you that are able to take a look at these young folks that are headed out, and we want you to go out in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ, but also in the knowledge that we will be standing with you as you go. And so I would like to pray a prayer over you as we dismiss today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the love, the deep, deep love that you have for us, and that we can know it, Lord. It's wonderful that you love us, but I thank you that you've designed us such that we can know that we know that we know of your deep love for us. And so I pray for each one gathered here in this place today that we would know the depth of your love, that you would expand our capacity to understand and to experience and to know your love. But we pray particularly, Lord, for those that are standing. I pray for your protection upon them. I pray for the armor of God to be upon them. I pray that they would leave with the instruction book in their hand and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Word indwelling their hearts, and that they will walk out of this place and will face this next season in the confidence and the assurance that you are walking with them. You have given them the Word, you are the Word, and you will continue to guide and direct. And so, Lord, we pray your deepest, richest blessings upon each one. We pray your best for them. We pray that they will be asking the question each day, Lord, what would you have me do? That they would know as job opportunities, vocational situations arise, as family situations, financial, relational, whatever comes into their hearts, Lord, whatever comes into their life and comes before them, may they know that they can always turn to you, that you are ever with them. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding in this knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for coming, for your willingness to be human and to be flesh and blood and to walk among us, that we might have you as an example of Savior, but also servant and shepherd and King. We pray all these things, Lord Jesus, in your holy, wonderful name. Amen.